morning, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the South Cars organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This SCAR server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System provided by Kilo Bravo 8 Zulu Golf Lima, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they have checked in. Information regarding our HF operation may be found at www.southcars.com and for this digital operation at www.voip.southcars.com. Your net control for this session is actually Gary, KC2RMO. His location is Syracuse, New York, where it's probably cold. My name is Kathy. My call sign is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. And I'm merely opening up the session this morning. But it's a cool morning here in Vero. It's about 73. High today of only about 78. And we're under a wind advisory, a lake wind advisory. Winds of about 20 to 30 miles an hour, but a very beautiful start to the morning. So prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled. If so, come aboard. Hearing nothing, how about a birthday station? Anyone celebrating a birthday either last week or this upcoming week that would like to come aboard so we could say happy birthday?
Oscar Victor India.
Well, good morning, Mr. Pete. Do we have a birthday coming up here? Let's see. October 30th was your birthday. It's past, but happy, happy birthday, and thanks for coming aboard this morning. So tell us, Pete, what'd you do for your birthday?
Oh, I've been out and had a couple of skewers of shrimp at the steakhouse up here in Orange City, and then they finish it off with a cup of ice cream with chocolate syrup on top of it. Oh my! Now I got 2 pounds to get rid of, over.
Well, that happens to the best of us, Pete. You know, our topic this morning is making everyone hungry. Your NCS says he hasn't had any breakfast out there, hasn't even had a snack, and this is probably the wrong thing to do this morning. So whenever you go into a grocery store, Pete, and you haven't eaten, you sure buy the whole store out. But I hope you had a happy birthday and very close to Halloween. And I'm sorry I didn't know that beforehand. I'd have sent you a happy birthday card. So South Cars wishes you a happy birthday, and I hope that you'll enjoy the session. And I must say, like Gordon was saying, and Gary, that is the best I've heard you. So please don't touch a thing. But everyone, this is the Sunday Morning Rag Tube. The purpose of this net is to bring our members and non-members together in a relaxed and informal atmosphere to enjoy a moderated rag tube. Our topic this morning to start things off is about food. It's about your favorite recipe. It's about that favorite restaurant. And I know that our NCS has a great program planned. But before I call on him, let me just make one short announcement, and let me drop it here for a moment. You know, we're always looking for help with South Cars, either NCS, backups, administrative, or hospitality people. So we ask if you have that desire, just to simply let us know. But I always want to tell you that I always record my sessions. So I am recording this session, Pete. So I have your fantastic audio actually recorded. So I want to advise everyone that if you've talked this morning, you will be part of that recording, and who knows, it may be put on our website as a podcast. Most of you know that a couple of our sessions of nets have been dropped, the second session of the AM connection in the Pacific net. And this was only because we were having problems finding NCSs to cover those, and those sessions seem to be slow. It's been going really great with our sessions. And we hope that you enjoy the sessions that we have. So with that, Mr. Gary, I'm going to throw it your direction. I'm looking forward to your program this morning. And you'll just have to wait till you're through to eat breakfast. KC2RMO from Kilo 6, Sierra United, November. And by the way, I'll ride along with you until your backup appears.
Well, thank you, Kath. Appreciate that, that's for sure. And Pete, you got the hi-fi high and the lights down low, and you sounded great this morning. And so let me add my voice to those that are saying you're sounding good. And welcome everybody everywhere, and thank you for connecting to the Sunday Morning Rag Chew. We have 33 degrees, believe it or not, 33, and cloudy here in Syracuse's beautiful Outer Comstock section. It's cold out there, and I can see the trees moving a little bit out the window, so looks like we have a light breeze on that as well. So late fall, early winter, I don't know what you'd call it, but it's arrived anyway. It wouldn't be really late fall, but I guess Syracuse fall has arrived anyway. We're here. Well, our topic this morning, it's a delicious one. My favorite foods, restaurants, and recipes. It's really simple. Just tell us the things that you like best. Now, I figure the best way to do this would be to break things up into breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So let's get things going by marching around the breakfast table for you Don McNeil fans and tell us your favorite breakfast foods, restaurants, and recipes. So we'll start with breakfast right now on KC2RMO. This is the South Car Sunday Morning Rag Chew, and we're taking check-ins right now. Come on aboard.
Six Victor, good morning.
Sierra United, November.
Hey, Charlie Bravo.
Victor Hotel.
Oscar Victor India.
Wow, what a great first round. Everybody must be hungry. Six Victor, come on aboard and welcome to the breakfast table.
Hey, Gary. Thanks a million for running the show. Good morning, everybody. Gordon here, KY6V, Central Florida, trying to wake up. You know, when you mentioned the breakfast table and marching around it, I ran the Friday startup net on 40 meters for a number of years. That was the 8 o'clock session. I called it the Breakfast Club. We had a lot of fun. You sort of reminded me of that. We started at 63. We're going to 76 degrees Fahrenheit, I'm told. No rain in sight. Humidity's about 72%. HF number is 371. That's 3 dineros and 71 centeros, if I can put it that way. The website has changed as of 10 o'clock last night for our time change. We changed the clocks around the house at 10. I changed the website. I went to bed. I woke up at 9 o'clock. 11 hours of sleep. Something that doesn't happen to me very often. And boy, am I groggy this morning, Gary. KY6V, back to net.
I am too. Thanks, Gordon, number one. I am too. I stayed up really late last night because I was working on school stuff. I said, well, I'll get ahead. I have a ton of stuff to do. And because of the things that were going on, I got a couple of days behind on class, so I said, well, I'll catch up, and I can stay up late and gain an hour, and, you know, what the heck, it'll be fine. But it worked great in theory, but it didn't work so well in practice, and I was just like, oh, God, I'm a zombie this morning. So I know that feeling. I really do know that feeling. You had me thinking, you know, when you're talking about the Breakfast Club, and how much I really loved the old style morning shows that we used to wake up to. It started last night with this whole thing. We're talking about the Today Show, the original Today Show with Dave Garroway and that set that they had in the monitor studio, and you had me thinking too about. You know, Don McNeil's Breakfast Club, which was, for those of us who are of a tender age, you probably don't remember it, but it was the longest running radio program in history. I think it ran probably 30 years, somewhere around there. Ran an awful long time. That's where the March Around the Breakfast Table business comes from. If you go on YouTube, let me just buy a nickel. If you go on YouTube, you can see they experimented at one point of running it as a live TV broadcast too, where you could watch the radio program on TV as they did it. And it's fascinating. It is absolutely fascinating, the coordination between all the different folks and how that thing came together. It was a big set. It was a big studio. It was, as you know, what you saw is what you got, and it was pretty cool. But thank you, Gordon. Hope you're going to be checking in again. Any thoughts on breakfast before we move along? Anything that's a fave of yours? Anything that would sound really good right now on the plate in front of you?
Oh golly, I don't know. Probably pancakes on the side. A nice Western omelet, some bacon, and a pot of coffee. KY6V, over.
Man, I'm just about going to second on this side of things, too. I was thinking blueberry pancakes, eggs and sausage, and a pot of coffee for sure. That sounds good. Also, my darling wife makes one of the meanest breakfast sandwiches that you've ever had, and they are wonderful, and I understand there's one coming my way, so I'll give you a full report on that, too. We'll move it along, and we'll go over to K6SUN. Kathy, come on aboard.
Well, good morning, Mr. Gary, and you will have to tell me or have Stephanie send me this recipe and this breakfast sandwich, but I made the mistake when I went to the store. Got a lot of groceries, but I've missed up getting eggs, so I'm not going to have too much of a breakfast. But I like scrambled eggs in the French toast and the pancakes. The blueberry pancakes are great. Omelets, I like to make those. Sausage, bacon, grapefruit. I always like the grapefruit, and I have a market just down the road from me that has Florida grapefruit, and actually I forgot to pick that up as well. Eggs over easy are great, and, you know, biscuits, bagels, croissants. But I don't have much time in the morning when I'm going to work to have any type of breakfast, so I miss the breakfast. But, you know, oatmeal's always good. So I hope that didn't make you too hungry, but I always miss breakfast for some reason, and that's the most important meal of the day. So, Gary, I'm going to turn it back to you. But one thing I did want to say, and it's not only breakfast. About 2 years ago, South Cars did a net on recipes. And our members sent us their favorite recipes. It was published. We did a global on it. And it was. And I was looking for that this morning. It's now disappeared. So I'm thinking maybe we'll do a net on that again for everyone to send us their favorite recipes so we can publish it. Back to you, Gary. Thanks for doing the net this morning. And don't forget that sandwich for me from Stephanie. Back to you.
Oh, man. No, I will not forget that. It's really very simple, and what she does is she's got some sort of a special dish, and I forget what she calls it. It's a ceramic dish, and it's almost like a small bowl actually, and this is what she cooks the eggs in, is this thing, and you just kind of lightly toast an English muffin. You put your egg in there. You put some cheese there, and what's that? We have third party traffic from the kitchen. Yeah, you should put cheese in there. Yeah, okay. I thought there was cheese in there.
No cheese.
Okay. you can put cheese in there if you want, and it would probably be really good. So you take that, you slap that on there, and then put your there was cheese in there.
Oh, there is cheese in the sandwich, not for the egg.
Yes, yes, okay. Let me buy a nickel. Yes, there's cheese in there. Okay, so you take your egg, you take your cheese, you take some ham, and you get. You can either use, you know, sliced ham that you buy prepared, or you can just take, if you had some ham for dinner, you know, you can put it in there. And then you put it together, and she freezes these. And you can just take them out of the freezer and plunk them in the microwave, and away you go. It's great. You just actually, what you do is put them on defrost for 5 minutes, and it heats them right up, and it's great. So they taste delicious. Eggs. You were talking about eggs, and you know, I forgot. My favorite are scrambled eggs, but I do like Eggs Benedict. I got exposed to Eggs Benedict years ago at the Opryland Hotel in Nashville, Tennessee, when I used to go down for the CMA convention down there. Since I was staying at a good hotel for once, you know, I was living high on the hog, as they say down there, and I had a chance to have some pretty nice breakfasts, and one of those breakfasts I enjoyed myself with was Eggs Benedict. I enjoyed that, so those were always good. But sounding good. I'm getting hungrier and hungrier by the minute. So before I go and eat my script, we'll move it along, and we'll pick up George LCB. Come on aboard, George.
Well, good morning, Gary, and good morning to South Cars. Hope this new day has opened up well for you and all concerned. Breakfast. Gary, I really can't say I do breakfast. I do have a cup of coffee every morning. Have been doing that since ever I can remember, and really can get into what they say what the number one meal is. You know, just like all these studies, you know, I really can take heart into everything they say, because I am me and nobody else. But you know, growing up, we used to, and I still do it every chance I get a loaf of Cuban bread and cut me off a piece about 8 or 9 inches long, and open it up and butter it, and then I'll go ahead and fold it back over and toast it, you know, and I usually will take a knife and center that. Those that don't know, Cuban bread is more like a loaf bread or Italian bread, so to speak, about 3 foot long, comes in a loaf, and I remember my grandfather, he used to go to the bakery every morning and pick up old 5 or 10 loaves of bread, and just going by the family's house, you know, every morning and dropping a loaf of a hot Cuban bread off. So that has been my breakfast ever since I can remember, and mercy me, I ain't too big, you know, maybe it did something, not having a full breakfast. I don't know, but a great day. I'm still pretty able to do most things in life, me missing breakfast, I don't think it's hurt me too bad there. Yeah. But did want to jump in there and say a good morning to you, and I do love to cook every chance I get. A lot of Cuban recipes there, and you know, basically that's the heart of our meals here at my house there, with a Spanish type of accent. We always find something to get back to the roots of life, so to speak. But thank you for doing the show this morning there. Hopefully we'll be able to hang out a little bit longer. KW4, Lima, Charlie Bravo, back to net control.
Hey, thank you, George. It's great to have you along, as always. Pan Cubano. I had never heard of that before, but while you were talking, I was doing a little looking up, And it looks absolutely delicious. I went and googled it, and that looks great. I could definitely see that toasted up and buttered up, and boy, does that sound good for breakfast. I could definitely enjoy that without a doubt. Breakfast is, I've always considered it to be the most important meal of the day. I mean, breakfast is served. We've got, just to fill you in, here's what's been laid before me, or aside me anyway. We have a tall glass of orange juice. We have one of my darling wife's homemade egg McMuffins, and a cup of BB12 yogurt. So BB12 and BB King, and we're all set to go, you know. So that's a pretty good little breakfast there. But as I was saying, I was always taught, and it's been, you know, certainly echoed enough times through just about every place, that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. This is from Johns Hopkins University, and these are what reasons why you should eat a healthy breakfast by Nickel. It says here that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Breakfast provides you with the energy and nutrients that lead to increased concentration in the classroom. Studies show that breakfast can be important in maintaining a healthy body weight. It's true that if you're skipping breakfast to save to try to lose weight, it doesn't work. That breakfast kickstarts your metabolism. Hunger sets in long before it's time for lunch, but not because because it's not convenient to eat properly. Many people who have not eaten breakfast snack on foods that are high in fat and sugar. Don't do that. People who skip breakfast are unlikely to make up their daily requirement for some vitamins and minerals that a simple breakfast would have provided. And breakfast provides energy for the activities during the morning and helps prevent that mid-morning slump. And some quick tips on eating a quick and healthy breakfast. If you think you don't have time, you do. Pick 2 to 3 foods, at least from at least of the following food groups: bread and grain, milk and milk product, fruit or vegetable. If you have an apple, a cup of yogurt and a muffin, you're good to go. Pick up a portable breakfast items pick up a portable breakfast item at the grocery store. You can buy foods like fruit, low-fat yogurt, whole grain breakfast bars, granola bars, etc. Also replace or accompany that morning cup of coffee with a glass of orange juice, which I have both sitting right here, so that's pretty good. So, George, thank you again for being there. It's always great to have you on these nets. We'll move things along, and Victor Hochel, you've been out there waiting while I've been yapping. Come on aboard.
Well, good morning, everyone. I don't think the breakfast I'm going to mention is going to get the seal of approval from Johns Hopkins. It's 51 degrees here, started in the 40s. We're looking for a high of 68, so plenty chilly but sunny here in Lafayette, Louisiana. And looking for a nice kickback day. I hope everyone else has a great day also. In terms of breakfast, there's a small restaurant here called French Press, and they have something called Cajun Benedict. And as you might think, it's a play on regular Eggs Benedict. And you start off with a bowl. And in the bowl, you place a nice scoop of rice. And to the rice, you add gumbo. It's probably, if you do it at home, it's probably gumbo that's left over from the previous evening. And you add some boudin, a link or two of boudin, or rather a piece or two of boudin, to the gumbo. And then you make up an egg, regular Benedict style, and you float that on top of the gumbo. So you have both the clean taste of the egg, and you have the spicy taste of the gumbo and the boudin. And it is just great. So If you're familiar with Eggs Benedict, you get rid of the hollandaise, you get rid of the Canadian bacon, and you replace them with the gumbo and the boudin. Let me buy a nickel here. And I guarantee that that you can eat that, and it will keep you warm all morning. It's a great breakfast, and always enjoy it when I have the opportunity. Back to you, Gary. This is KF5VH.
Thanks, Steve. You know, as a Yankee sitting up here, you're saying some words that I'm unfamiliar with. Can you tell me what boudin is? It sounds hot.
Well, boudin is everywhere. I mean, like you can go to the football game here and get a link of boudin. You take rice, you take meat of some sort, pork or beef or chicken or a mix or whatever you want, and you cook that up and you season it all, you mix it all together, and you stuff a casing. Now, for the breakfast food, for the Cajun Benedict, you cut the casing off, but you go to the football game and it's served as a link in the casing, foil wrapped, and you just peel the foil back like a banana, and you sit there and gnaw off the end of the boudin. It's great eating. Back to you.
Holy cats! I have never heard of that, and I'd give it a try. I would. I'm fond of spicy stuff. I'm fond of hot stuff, and Cajun cooking would not be considered mild by anybody's standards. So, it's sounding good to me. I've never heard that of that before. Thank you, Steve, for enlightening me on the ways of boudin. That's pretty cool. I'm going to check that out. Thanks very much for joining us. Hope you join us a little bit later on. We'll move along to OVI, the next best sounding thing to Radio Free Europe. Pete, come on aboard.
Oh, hardly. Well, I had to go through to get this sound. Oh, my gosh. I scared Mount Everest twice and fell off a couple of times. Broke a couple of bones, and here I am. Anyway, get back to the food again. I like to make the nice little batter, and I'm going to take some walnuts, put them in the blender a little bit, chop them down a little bit to be crumb like that. Throw it in the batter, mix the batter up real good, add a couple of eggs to it, make a nice little firm, make it bubbly, put it in the pan, let it cure in the pan. And see, it gets little pinholes, and then you turn it once around, only once. Get the base done on one side, turn it around once, very lightly, and on the other side, don't get them too done, you know, it'll be too hard. And keep them fluffy, take them out and serve them. Put some syrup that comes from maple syrup that comes from Canada, Canadian maple syrup. I like Canadian maple syrup. It's got a very good taste to it. Got a nice smooth texture to it, and it does amplify the pancakes. And that would be, and if you want to, serve it with some dark, real dark chocolate on the side. Take a couple of dark chocolate, chop them up a little, and sprinkle them on top of the pancakes. Dark chocolate is supposed to be good according to the medical association. They say it's supposed to be okay. And that would be your breakfast. Serve with a little bit of orange juice. And if you want to get you want to get some of that Kahlua, and just put a couple of dashes of Kahlua into your orange juice in the morning. That'll brighten it up a little bit. Put a little brightening up a little bit on that. That stuff from Mexico comes in a nice, unique bottle. That's good stuff. Put a sprinkle of that in there a little bit. Spice up a little bit. And let me buy a quarter here. And the next thing on the menu would be maybe a little bit of bacon. Make sure that you got your bacon just timed right. Sometimes you overcook the bacon and it gets real brittle. You want it to get too brittle. You lay a couple of strips on the side. And that should top it off. And for lunch, there's a bowl of rice. The rice that you get from Japan, Japanese white rice. Oh, that's really good. Put that in a bowl and scramble an egg with a little bit of touch of ham in there. A real good nature-grown ham. It dices up a little bit, real fine, like. Mix that into your egg, and then lay the egg over the rice. And you can put a little bit of that soy sauce on the side around the edge of the eggs a little bit. Mix it, and don't mix it up, but just cut it up. Lay the serve. For dinner, I would definitely go for a couple of skewers of shrimp alongside of some good old Texas ground beef on the side in the small chunks, real small chunks, heartily done and really sauteed, really good sauteed on that. There's some good old southern cooking. Sauteed the steak and then put that inside. That would round off a good day of festivity and don't forget the Coors Light. That's always great to have that on the side. That would be my round table on the food thing there. Gary, Katie, who asked every candidate.
Well, thank you, Pete. And the way I figure you have enough of the Coors Light, anything tastes good. It's like, that's some interesting stuff. I have never heard of putting eggs over rice. And I would expect that's pretty good. And that it would help fill you up a little better, too. One thing that I love eggs, but the problem with them with me is that they never fill you up. You know that you've always got to have a bunch of eggs and then a stack of pancakes and what have you. You know, but they don't in and of themselves fill you up very well. You know, you'd mentioned maple syrup. This is one of the areas up here that is great for maple syrup. Again, we're pretty close to Canada. The Canadian border, depending upon how you fly that crow, is only about 60 miles from here. Again, depends on where you go in. But if you follow along the coast of Lake Ontario, it's about 60, 70 miles from here. So you have that that routing, but we've got a lot of maple trees here, and we've got in these little towns outside the city. If you go at the right time, you will see these trees tapped and the buckets hanging off of them, and they make some pretty darn good maple syrup. If you're a maple syrup fan, Central New York is a pretty good resource, believe it or not. That's right. There's a Maple Fest. Yeah, there's Maple Fests and there's all kinds of stuff. So it's not all Vermont. And it's not all Canada. There's a little bit of central New York out there. So I'm advocating for the hometown here. So we'll see. We're talking this morning, if you're just joining us, about some really good stuff. My favorite foods, restaurants, and recipes. And we're discussing the topic of breakfast this morning. Nobody mentioned a favorite breakfast restaurant. My personal favorites are basically a category. Basically a category. I prefer to have my breakfast in a real diner. You know, the type where you sit at the stool and have the guy plunk the plate in front of you. That's breakfast. You know, I like that. But rather than a chain restaurant type of a thing. So those are my faves there. But I didn't hear, and I don't know, and we're going to move along to lunch in a little bit, but I did want to mention that I hadn't heard anybody mention one of my favorite things, which is breakfast pizza. And I don't know if they have that in other parts of the country. That might be a local thing. That it is a pizza that has scrambled eggs and bacon and cheese and, you know, all the good stuff that you'd want to have, like in a Egg McMuffin type of a thing, but on a pizza shell. And they have it a lot here, and it's good. And it's one of my favorite things. So if you have pizza, breakfast pizza, and you like it, let's hear from you too. So we're talking about breakfast and lunch and dinner, our favorite foods and restaurants and recipes, and we're going to move along to lunch right now. It's lunchtime, so tell us your favorite lunch foods and maybe where you like to eat your lunch at, and if you have any recipes for anything good for lunch. We'll hear it right now. We're taking our second round of check-ins on the Sunday Morning Rag Chew. I'm KC2RMO, and this is South Cars.
Recheck.
And 6 Victor, recheck.
Victor, X-ray Papa.
Sierra United November.
Get back to Yankee.
Well, wow, that was a good round, too. This is must be a hungry bunch of people. We'll kick it off with OVI. Come on aboard.
You know, I heard a subject, Gary. And I like cheese. I like seven cheeses. Made from seven different continents and all that good stuff. But I tell you one cheese, which might throw you. It'll throw you right down the street. But Limburger cheese is a good topic. Limburger cheese. Now it might not look good to you, but it does taste good. It has to be done in such fashion as the old way of making Limburger cheese. If you have a good delicatessen around your neighborhood, jump in there and ask him for some Limburger cheese. And it really will put your taste buds to the test. I'm kidding who asked you, Virginia, back to Nut Control.
You know, that stuff smells awful, but it really tastes pretty good. And I can recall, there were certain associates of mine in Levy Junior High School that found it would be amusing to take a piece of Limburger cheese, a rather large piece of Limburger cheese, and put it in the classroom heating unit. So that we could all share the aroma. I feel very badly for the guy that was the custodian. He got a call. They thought something died in there. It was But there was a little piece of Levy Junior High School history. I had to be there, I guess. But that stuff, I know Limburger has its fans, Pete. It really does. So there's some merit to it. But boy, stinky cheese. We'll move it along. 6 Victor, come on aboard.
Thanks, Gary. KY6V here. I'm sorry, but I'm sitting back thinking it's too early in the morning to be talking about Limburger cheese. Hey, I wanted to amplify a little bit on rice for breakfast. You know, I was born in the Hawaiian Islands, and if you have any Hawaiian blood in your system, you know all about rice, because rice is a staple out there. And my mother used to cook breakfast quite often with white rice, a couple of fried eggs over easy, and you'd put the eggs on top of the rice, and then you would break the yolk and let the yolk flow down into the rice and sort of stir it up, and yummy, yummy. So that's my comment on rice and eggs. Grapefruit, your comment in the admin box. Where does the difficulty come into with you? Is that a conflict of interest with the medication, or just what? Question. And last but not least, lunch for me is normally leftover from the night before. Although I like to vary that from time to time. I'm quite a French bread eater, and I like to have a French bread sandwich with some lunch meat and cheese in it, and a great big dill pickle. And there you go. KY6V back to net.
Yum. And I do mean yum. Yeah, I can't have grapefruit because it interferes with one of the drugs. I think it's warfarin. There's some enzyme in grapefruit that cancels the effect, I guess. So they say, you know, no grapefruit. You can't have it. So, and that's too bad because I like grapefruit. I really do. You know, I've been taking this stuff for a while, and, you know, you learn to live without it anyway. So I learned to pass it by. But rice, boy, oh, boy. You know, I think we here in America really do not realize the universality of that food. It's eaten everywhere in the world in quantity. And only certain regions of this country really have it heavily in their diet. You know, I think if you go the Northeast, you don't see rice very often at all. I mean, if you see it, it's like chicken and rice and that sort of thing, but it's you don't see it as much used in many dishes here, but you go worldwide and it's a staple in everybody's diet. And I think people probably look at us like we have two heads. Why aren't you eating your rice? You know. So, that sounds good, Gordon. I gotta try that one of these days. Some sort of rice and egg dish. And see how we've got it. You know, it's like have a breakfast poo-poo platter or something. But good stuff, and thank you for checking in again. Do hope we're going to hear from you again, and we'll move it on out to Ohio and see what's for lunch out there with Rick, VXP. Come on aboard.
N1 VXP, Rick in Chillicothe, Ohio. And, definitely get back to breakfast. I've been raised up in, basically with a family in the South, and always look forward to the summertime visiting relatives in Kentucky. And I could always remember waking up around 6 in the morning when some people are just getting up and going back to sleep. And next thing I know, 7 o'clock, I wake up and I could smell all the great smells of breakfast going out into the dining room. And here's a big table with, there had to be at least 10 people all around the table. And it was the idea of having the normal bacon, eggs, home fries, biscuits, cornbread. And I always remembered you know, the idea of having such a big breakfast. And I remember my grandmother always used to say, well, if you don't eat a big breakfast, you'll eat me out of house and hold for lunch, so got to make the breakfast good. And I thought about it, and I was like, kind of laughed about it, but it was really true that if you ate a really good breakfast, you didn't really think too much of lunch. When lunchtime did come around, it was always something we always look forward to. Let me drop for a second. And, you know, as far as lunch, it was really not too heavy of a meal that they would end up fixing. But dinner, on the other hand, that was the one that, like breakfast, it was a decent meal. We never went to bed hungry, and it was always a lot of fun. Always enjoyed that. That was a 2-week period in the summertime to enjoy that kind of food. Mentioned about restaurants. I know Gordon would probably remember this one. I had spent a couple different times in Florida on vacation. And one restaurant that always comes into mind when I say Florida, Kapok Tree. A lot of people that are familiar with that one, I guess they consider the Kapok Tree as one of the oldest trees in Florida, but they had a restaurant that was quite the thing. And also in my period of time visiting Florida, I remember all the buffet restaurants. One in mind, I can't remember if it was House of Denmark or House of Sweden, but it had one of the longest buffet table setups that I couldn't believe. But always enjoyed those type of restaurants. Let me drop for a second. And before I forget, as far as breakfast, I've done my share of traveling, and I remembered something I heard on TV one time. If you really want a good breakfast, and you're traveling on the highway and it's that time in the morning, don't just go to any old restaurant. Look for the restaurant with all the trucks, where all the trucks pull off. Because if you go into a restaurant that has a lot of trucks parked outside, you're bound to find a really good one. I did that one time on a trip from Connecticut to Florida. And it was in Georgia. I'm not sure exactly where it was. I think it was outside of Atlanta. We were on the highway, and these friends said, where are we going to have breakfast? And I said, well, let's follow the trucks. And we pulled in. It was a restaurant that had about maybe 20 or 30 trucks. And that restaurant, I could not believe. At that time, for $4.95, you ended up having like three meals in breakfast. Start out with the juice, then you had the cereal, then you had the pancakes and the eggs and the ham and the toast. And, I mean, it was like everything, like three different meals put together for that price. And you never walked out of there saying, what am I going to do for lunch now? You didn't even think about lunch. You kept on traveling and really enjoyed it. But always think of the restaurants that truck drivers stop at. You know you're going to have a good meal. Drop one more second. Gordon mentioned something about Breakfast Club. For those who don't know, on the Do Drop In conference, node number 355-800, there is the Breakfast Club net. Net control is Kilo Bravo 8, Romeo Alpha Delta, Don, out of Holt, Michigan. He does a net Monday through Friday, and he runs that net from 7 a.m. to about 1:30 in the afternoon. He's had over, I think the last he counted was something like over 2,000 individuals that had checked in over a period of time. He averages about 90 to 100 check-ins per day. Does it Monday through Friday. He does take out for holidays when they do fall during the week, but he does this every day, Monday through Friday. 7 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. And great little net. He gets people all over the world checking in. Other than that, really not much else. I may have something a little bit later. N1TXT, back to net control.
Hey, thank you, Rick. That's a lot of folks for breakfast. Man. Wow. But, you know, I've heard this from more than one person. It's you know, it's almost like an old wives' tale or an urban legend or something like that. Follow, you know, eat where you see the trucks, you know. And I've heard that from more than one person, that it's not just a myth, that is true. If you eat where the truckers are eating, you've got at least a decent chance of feeling satisfied when you walk out of there, and B, not getting ptomaine, or at least something that's at least treatable anyway. So, but it's true, you know. There's a great deal of truth to that. So, that's really good advice. I would like to do that. So, and I know when Steph and I take our, we like to take these little trips. Let me move this for a minute. There we go. Mr. Jingles had hopped up on my shoulder, and considering the mass of this can, when he plunked down, I have two tables that are joined together, and when he came down, he moved them a little bit. But Steph and I take these little trips every now and then, and, you know, we'll go out your way, actually, Rick. Sometimes we'll go to Ohio, and, you know, if we go to Hamvention, or, yeah, we'll go down to Findlay Lake, or we'll go to Pennsylvania and pick grapes, or, you know, whatever. We'll just take these weird little trips. But that's one thing, maybe what we'll do while we're on the road is kind of follow the trucks, you know, it's like see where they're eating, you know, and put that to the test. We'll find out for sure. So thank you, sir, and I hope we'll hear from you again. We will move it along now as launch continues, and we'll put a BLT in front of K6SUN. Kathy, come aboard.
Well, good morning, Gary. I want to respond to some of what everyone's been talking about, but I do see, once again, your backup has disappeared, so I'm back there backing you up. Maybe just got bumped off. Rice, you know, I love rice, but I want to try to watch my carbs, and so rice and pasta, spaghetti, they all have high carbs in them, so I don't have as much rice as I used to, but I do like to make fried rice whenever I'm having shrimp or anything that is, you know, Chinese, but I cook the rice, and then I use soy sauce to fry that. But first of all, I do bacon in the pan to have that juice, and I put the onions in there, and it's always really great. I like brown rice, and most of you know brown rice has to be cooked a lot longer. I think brown rice you have to cook for almost an hour, so it's not a quick meal. But I did have that the other day, lunch. And you well know this, Gary, that I leave one school and travel to another school, and that's usually my lunch in my planning period. It's usually from 11:30 to 1. Never leave the one school until almost noon. I don't have an awful lot of time for lunch, but what I try to take is tomatoes. I love tomatoes, and vegetables and fruits, and maybe some dressing with that or some cream cheese, just to have that on my way back. Let me drop it here just a moment. But sometimes I also, and Rick knows this, I love Lebanon bologna. So I make wraps with Lebanon bologna, but inside the Lebanon bologna I have a mustard cheese. And just make a little wrap, and you just, you know, just eat that. That's a very fast meal. Subs are a good lunch. You know, I make a good sub. And I also make wraps with hummus, and usually chicken and lettuce and tomato and whatever you want in them. And you've had wraps before, and they're very good, very simple. So my lunch is most of the time just whatever I can do quickly and on the road. So with that, Gary, I'll be here as long as you run the net, and let's just see if your backup reappears. He may have got bumped off. Back to you, Gary, from Kilo 6 Sierra United, November.
Well, once again, thanks for backing up the backup. And that's some healthy stuff, Kath. That's some healthy sounding stuff for lunch. Rice, excuse me. Rice is, again, we were talking about it being such a staple throughout the world. You know, I love Chinese food. I am, it's not real Chinese food, you know, American Chinese food, I guess, you know, the stuff that you get when you go to the takeout restaurant. I love that stuff. And I love fried rice. And I like the veggie fried rice, you know, I love that. I can just, you know, here, give me a bucket and leave me alone. I'll be all right. You give me that and some egg rolls, and I'm a happy camper for a very long time. And General Tso's chicken and sweet and sour chicken. So, all that stuff. I love that stuff. So there's no problem with that. But that's I don't eat a lot of rice other than at the Chinese restaurant. But I used to, years ago, I used to do that. I used to have rice. But it wasn't the good rice, you know, it was like the instant rice stuff. So but you have got some great stuff there that you're putting together for lunch. I don't think that would fill me up. I you know, no matter what, I would probably be wanting to snack around 3 or 4 o'clock with that. But if you can have that and stay, you know, satisfied, that's awesome. That really is. Thank you, ma'am. We will move it along as we continue lunchtime here. QY, come on aboard on the Sunday Morning Rag 2.
KB4QY, well, good afternoon. Well, good morning still. I seem like it ought to be afternoon to me. I've been up here quite a while, huh? But anyway, well, I was just enjoying y'all's discussion with breakfast there. Of course, I didn't feel like it was a good thing to discuss. I was participating in breakfast. And I really think that is a better a participant sport and not a spectator sport, you know. I like to get in there and get with it. So I had my eggs and grits. And, you know, grits ain't groceries, and that's only a poor man's plate. And then I had his sausages and all that stuff, so I did right well with all that. But I think about lunch, and just got through with breakfast, and I probably won't think about lunch for at least an hour or so before I get too concerned about that. But I did come across a story I had to tell you that I think you might get a chuckle out of. Let me cycle this thing. There was a fellow by the name of T.M. Anderson. He's a preacher, and he's gone home to be with the Lord now. But anyway, he used to go down there to Lakeland, Florida, where they had an encampment at, and he preached down there just about every year. But he told one day the story. He said that him and Mrs. Anderson didn't see eye to eye on everything. And for example, he said that she and he did not fairly agree on food. Mrs. Anderson, she loved them candied sweet potatoes. She said, man, she could eat them things and be candied so much that you stick a fork in them and you just pull back on the fork and just kind of pop loose from one another. And they're so candied. Now, he doesn't care anything about a sweet potato, no matter what it is, and especially candy. He didn't want no sweet potato no how. But that's all right. They didn't threaten divorce court over that situation. She dyed her candy sweet potatoes and he didn't. But now, for him, it was Limburger cheese. He said, well, you got to admit it's a far cry difference between Limburger cheese and candy sweet potatoes. But he said, that was all right. Said she sat in the dining room and ate her candy sweet potatoes, and he took his Limburger cheese out the garage with box scratchers, and they both get along just fine. So, I thought of that when y'all talked about Limburger cheese. I believe I'd go with Mrs. Anderson on that. I like them candy taters, but I just as soon do without the Limburger cheese. But I do love cheese. It's about anything else but them burgers. But, that's always good eating. But anyway, be that as it may, I have had a plenty and ain't aiming to eat nothing for at least an hour. And then I'll consider what I'm going to do for lunch. Back to you, Jed. God, I keep using this call sign. Yeah, KB4QY.
Hey, thank you, Jim. You know, those sweet potatoes are good for you. They are like, they're on the list every time when you look up, like, the world's healthiest foods. Sweet potatoes are always on there. Yams, sweet potatoes, they're always on there. They're loaded with antioxidants and all this good stuff for you. They're incredibly good for you. I like them, too. I do. I like anything that's, I don't know if they're related to squash, but they kind of taste squashy, you know. So I like those orangey vegetables. I like that flavor. George says about Limburger cheese that it goes good with beer, and it does. That's a traditional beer cheese, you know. If you're an old-time beer drinker, that you will have, you know, some Limburger on the table, and preferably downwind, and but it goes good with beer. It goes bratwurst goes good with beer. Good Lord, yeah, that's good stuff. But Jim, one of these days, you said something that made me renew a vow to my culinary self, and that is one of these days, the next time we're down south, I am going to get some grits. I'm going to try some grits. I have never had grits. To those below the Mason-Dixon line, you may find that incredible. But I have never had grits, and I'm going to try grits the next time we're down there. But as always, sir, great to hear from you. It's not Annette without you. In case you're joining us late, in case you just joined in, what are we talking about this morning? We're talking about my favorite foods, restaurants, and recipes. We all have them. They're all good. You can't go wrong. And that's the topic of discussion this morning on the Sunday Morning Rag Chew. We will move along now. We've covered breakfast and lunch. We'll go over to dinner now. So we're going to be talking about our favorite dinner foods, restaurants, and recipes. I've got a couple of things to talk about dinner-wise I know that when it comes to my favorite restaurants, I've got two that are in Florida. And a couple of that aren't even here anymore. But my personal favorite restaurant of all time in the entire universe is in West Palm Beach. My wife Stephanie is over here in the corner chuckling. My favorite restaurant in the world is the Okeechobee Steakhouse in Palm Beach, in West Palm Beach. It's great. It's great food. I've never walked out of a restaurant feeling so full or been waited on so well. I enjoyed it, and never have I had my wallet cleaned out so thoroughly, too. I might add. So, But I love that restaurant, and I'd go there in a heartbeat. The next place I love in Florida is B.B. King's in West Palm also. Not only is it just great to enjoy the show, you get some great blues artists going through there, but the food's pretty darn good too, so you can't go wrong there, you know. And a couple of places up here, let me just buy a nickel, do not exist anymore. There was a place over on the north side of the city that's authentic how you say that. You cannot say north, it has to be the north side of Syracuse. Was a place called the Caroma, which was a combination of the three names of the sisters that ran it. Best Italian restaurant I've ever been to in my life. The pasta was all homemade. It was all delicious. It was legendary. And they kept that place going from the 40s to the 70s, and they got a little too old to run the place, and they closed it down. Right around the corner from the Caroma was a place called Aunt Josie's, which was almost as good as the Caroma. It had a unique clientele.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard that, but Steph just said mafia. Every Monday night there was a row of Cadillacs up North Salina Street about a mile long, and you didn't want to go to Josie's on Monday night. There was a meeting in progress. So we're talking about dinner right now, and we would love to hear your favorite dinner foods and recipes and restaurants. So we're taking check-ins right now on the Sunday Morning Rag Chew. I'm KC2, RMO, and this is South Cars.
Oscar Victor India.
And 6 Victor.
And Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Victor Hotel.
Sierra United November.
Goodness gracious, that was a home run. That was just like Big Poppy slamming one over the fence. We'll get things going with OVI. Come on aboard there, sir.
84 Oscar Virginia. Splendid recipe. Now listen here, folks. This is how we play it. This is how we play the cooking game on this recipe. You get a real finely cut steak. It's a real fine cut, about eighth of an inch to half an inch or three quarters of an inch thick. Now what you do with that, then you pound it a little bit with a pounder. Pound it flat, more flatter. Yeah, nice and nice flat. Now, you put some bacon, about pre-cooked bacon. Not too much, but just a pre-cooked bacon and lay it right in the center of it. Get some spears of pickles. A dill pickle, but spears, you know. Cut sideways all the way down. Lay that on top of the bacon. Then you take some mustard, a little bit of mustard, and put it on the spear. And add some herbs along with it, some good herbs, lay it in there, really tighten, lay it in there. And then you, if you want to put a little bit of, a couple of chunks of tomatoes in there. And then you wrap it up. You know, you wrap it up like a cigar, almost like a cigar, wrap it up real good and tight. And put a couple of toothpicks in them, about three or four of them, keep it together, put it in the oven, and let it cook till it's done. I'll let you make up the time when it's done on that. Let me buy a nickel here. Then you put it in there, saute a little bit of rich brown sauce along with it. And then a baked potato on the side, a real Idaho, I'll repeat, Idaho potato on the side, and put a little bit of parsley on lay a couple of strips of parsley along the side of the cigar, and serve it. A brown sauce right alongside of it, and some nice French bread along on the side. Put that in, on there, and you'll enjoy that. Really good. All the flavor inside the cigar will really come together when you cook it. And that's the dinner of the day, or dinner of the week, so to speak. But you'll enjoy that thing. And if you're not comfortable with that, you can always get the recipe off the internet. But that is my dinner, and I love that stuff. Just melts in your mouth. 84 Oscar Victor.
Well, Pete, that sounded good, especially for some reason that... that Idaho baked potato just stood out from everything else. It just sounded really good, you know. I'm understanding that that Kathy's going to be sending out an email in the near future asking folks about recipes, and we're going to do a net on favorite recipes. We've done these before, and they've been really good networks. Please remember that one for the email that you will receive. That is sounding just fine, sir. Just fine indeed. We will move along at the dinner table and go to Six Victor and see what's on his plate. Come on aboard there, Gordon.
Hey, thanks, Gary. KY6V here. You know, Pete, I think you missed a couple of things. That sounds delicious. You forgot the glass of good wine to go along with it. And the potato, you just have to put everything that you can find in the kitchen on top of it. Gary, going back just a little bit, your comment on Bratwurst, you know, I spent a little time up in Wisconsin, and I love Bratwurst. And I found that the only way, and you mentioned the beer, you cook the bratwurst in beer, and it's just absolutely delicious. And Jim's comment on grits, I'm not a supporter of grits. It's just a little bland to me. Of course, coming from the islands, I don't like poi either, so, and both of them, other than one being pink and the other not, taste the same to me. Let me buy a nickel here quickly. Anyway, to sum it up, Gary, I'm a steak and potato man, basically, but I think I've got a little Italian in me because I love pasta. So when you're talking restaurants, at least in my neck of the woods down here, it's Olive Garden for the pasta stuff, and it's Outback, you know, for the steak and the bloomin' onions and all of that. I don't know if anybody mentioned, I think you touched on chicken and rice. Let me buy another nickel. My favorite dishes, too, is that you prepare white rice, you get that on the plate. You've already cooked some chicken, chicken breasts. You put the chicken breast on top of the rice. You've cut up some green peppers, and you spread that around the plate a little bit. And then you put some half-cut peaches on top of all of this, baby, and you take the peach juice, and you sort of spread it around the top, and it oozes down into the white rice, and you just sit back and smile. Go ahead, Gary, from KY6V.
Wow, peaches. I never would have thought of peaches. That sounds really good. It really does. Yum, 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 yum. Okay. Great dinner ideas here. This is really sounding good. This is not a locale net, but I enjoy the chicken and rice that way with the veggies and everything and mixed in with the rice and adding those peaches and the peach juice just makes it sound really, really terrific. That could become a guest on a plate near me real soon. Thank you, sir. As we talk about dinner and food and all kinds of good stuff, we will move along to Lima Charlie Bravo. George, come on aboard.
And Gary, great day. Been sitting back here taking all this stuff in. Well, what can I say? I was raised up on a right there, and our grits, which I mentioned in the text, we call that a Georgia ice cream. And speaking of grits, you can get white grits and yellow grits. And Mr. Six Victor, I do a whole lot of yellow rice, but I cook my green peppers and all my other little goodies and my chicken in there with the rice. I think one of my favorites is what we call carne con papa, meat and potatoes. And it's basically a beef type stew. And you know, you could just grab your nice a stew there, and I always flour mine and brown it there, and or you could buy the cut up stew meat and flour it down and brown it, and I wind up cooking it with, you know, tomatoes and all your little goodies as far as the garlics and the peppers and things like that, and usually that's poured over the top of rice, you know, and you might have a few plantains on the side, and it's in a partial recipe of a bread pudding. I sent you an email, the whole thing, both you and Cassie. You know, with bread pudding or another dish they call flang. I mean, there's so many goodies I could talk about. Different meals, Spanish style, or you know, the holidays coming up, a nice big Cuban style pork. Gary, I'm surprised when you come to Florida, you need to get you a good Cuban mixed sandwich, and you talk about something that. But that's just one of the things, and I've got an old conch recipe book with a whole bunch of old-timey recipes. Maybe we can get them your way. KW4, Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Hey, thank you, George. I do hope when that email asking for recipes comes around that we get tons of George recipes there, because they sound great. They really do. And for me, you know, this is a very different type of eating. I've not had any exposure to this sort of stuff. So it's all interesting and it all sounds good. So really, really good stuff. And yeah, I'll be getting on the grit checklist there. So we'll see how that goes. Got to give that a try. Thanks, George, and we'll be watching for your recipes, that's for sure. We'll move along. Victor Hotel, come on aboard as we continue our discussion of dinner here on the Sunday Morning Rag 2.
Well, good morning again, Gary and everyone. Let me make a couple quick comments first about the potato and potato rice and grits. I grew up knowing that rice existed, but only saw it once or twice a year. That was above the Mason-Dixon line. I get below the Mason-Dixon line. And around here, you ask in the store where the rice is, and they ask whether you want the 20 or the 50-pound bag. And I'm not kidding. As far as grits, I knew they existed, but never had any. And I get down here and certainly have had some. And Gordon, the problem is not the grits are bland. The problem is that you haven't learned how to fix them. And the way you fix them is you get a bottle of hot sauce, Louisiana hot sauce. You can use Tabasco. It's a little more touchy. But just get a bottle of Louisiana hot sauce and put two two shakes in, stir them up, and if you can't taste it, you put two more shakes in, you stir it up, and you keep going until the grits taste right. And it's not about fire, it's about taste, and there is a taste there if you go slowly adding the hot sauce. Well, let me let the timers reset here. As far as dinner, my favorite is something called Catfish Willie. It's a very simple meal, typically a side that is a vegetable served with a salad and bread, and we'll get back to the bread. It's catfish, it's grilled fillets, and it's smothered in this chef's crawfish herb sauce that is so wonderful, award-winning, out of the world. And when you've eaten the catfish, unfortunately some of the sauce has fallen to the plate, and this is what the bread is for. And you'll ask for whatever bread is necessary to sop this up, and I can assure you when the plate goes back that the dishwasher doesn't have to do anything but put it back in the rack. That plate will always go back absolutely clean. That's it from Louisiana today. Everyone have a great weekend. KF5VH.
Steve, thank you. And there's some great cooking going on down there, that's for sure. And as I've been saying right along, if you get that email, be sure to respond to it with some of these great recipes you've been talking about. Real treat for people that have not had cooking like this before. And just interesting even just to look at it and get your own ideas, you know, that you can draw from it. Thanks again, and we'll move it along to S-U-N. Kath, come on aboard.
Well, good morning once again, Gary. Before you pick Mia, George has a comment. He had it in the text box, and it may have to do with Steve, but everyone out there, I will make this comment. You don't have to wait for that email. You can send these fantastic recipes to me at any time. And Steve, you know what my feeling on hot sauce is. So all I can say about the grits and the hot sauce is if you don't like the grits, you just keep putting that hot sauce on and then burn the heck out of your mouth. You won't want grits anymore. But I'll turn it to you, Gary, so you can pick up George first and then come back to me.
That's the way to do it, exactly. I just saw the comment come up in the text box, so we'll break with you and get back to you right after we pick up George. This is KC2RMO on the Sunday Morning Rag Chew. George, come on aboard.
Thank you, Gary. Great day in the morning. Now, that boy can eat. I tell you what, he talk about sopping. You know, what can I say? When you run out of bread, you know, you got to run and get you some more there, Gary. There's so many, Well, I mentioned earlier about Cuban bread, but you could do it with any bread. Sometimes it's good just to lay that bread in the plate to start with and let all that stuff run in there and eat in there. But, you know, as far as meals and cooking and, you know, Gordon and the grits and all or rice, you could put, if the something don't taste the way you like it, and he talked about the hot sauce, but just all kinds of stuff. You know, some folks put a cheese in things like that. You know, a cheese grits is pretty popular, you know, in a lot of the restaurants and all there. But, maybe a piece of green pepper or anything, you know, and that's what makes things so good. Somebody give you a recipe, you try cooking it. If it ain't coming out the way you think it should, well, get imagined it then. You know, and most of the time when I'm cooking, I find out, you know, if you're satisfied and you like it, I mean, I had to send sent for the police one time to put a roadblock up down the street because the smell was coming out and the people were just trying to get here, and I wasn't going to stand up all day feeding them folks. So, you know, cooking's good, eating's fine, but you got to enjoy what you're doing, when you're doing, and if you're doing it, everyone else will too. KW4 Lima, Charlie Bravo, thank you.
what section of the penal code covers good cooking fumes, you know? But you're right, George, you're right. You know, you make it taste good for you. It's what you like. I found that as I'm getting older, that you know, I'm more adventurous in what I'm eating. It's like I'll just say, oh well, let's try this with that, and nine times out of ten, it's a pretty good choice, you know. So it tastes pretty darn good. So yeah, you just go with what you like and use your intuition, and usually it comes out pretty darn good. So I have noticed that myself. Thank you, sir, and like I say, keep the good recipes coming. Keep the good chow coming. We will go back to Kathy K6SUN and continue our discussion. So, Kath, come on aboard.
All right, thank you so much, Gary, and OVI. I want you to pick him up as well. But I do want to remind everyone, don't wait for the email. Send me those favorite recipes. My email address, you know, is on QRZ. It's just my call sign with a 01 at gmail.com. Just simply send me those recipes so I can get them all together. I'm thinking about sometime in December, maybe. I think it'd be a great program. I can't top what everyone is talking about, but I will tell you about some of my favorite foods. Go back to the bratwursts. I like to cut up the bratwursts, and I always get the beer bratwursts. And I like to cut those up in a pan and cook them with sliced potatoes and sliced onions. And it's always a great meal. But I want to tell you about pasties, you know, from Upper Peninsula in Michigan. It's a real great meal. I haven't made them in quite some time, but I do have a homemade recipe, and so I'm thinking of doing those, but they're delicious. I always like chicken, and not many of you like the liver and onions, but I like that once in a while. And I'm actually, while you were talking, Gary, I went out to my freezer trying to figure out what I was going to have for dinner. I was going to have the liver and onions, but I brought out spare ribs, and I may have those. I like spaghetti. I make an impossible quiche. It's done with Bisquick mix. And let me drop it here for a moment. And you just put anything you like. Eggs, it's Bisquick mix, milk. You put onions, any kind of meat you want. It's pretty good. It's pretty easy. I love shrimp and I love stir fry. And I love the salads. I make French dip. I usually do that with homemade French fries. And that's pretty good. I do like to make a shish kebab once in a while, and that's usually with steak, shrimp, and chicken with the peppers and the onions, and that's always real good. I usually make about 8 of those shish kebabs and freeze some of them. No one's talked about desserts, though, for evening. You always have to have a dessert, like key lime pie. You know, chocolate chip cookies are my specialty. Meatloaf, cube steak, and Gary, you've had the cube steak, and I don't think you've had the meatloaf. Jack came up with some great recipes. So, with that, I'll just tell you a couple of the restaurants I like, and they're actually the same as Gordon's, the Olive Garden, and Outback. Don't go to a restaurant too often, but those are my favorite. So, that's probably my final check-in, Gary, but you've had a great session this morning and some great ideas, so I'll turn it back to you, and don't forget to pick up Mr. OVI.
No, we won't leave Pete stranded, that's for sure. Couple of things, sir, where we were talking about restaurants. I mean, I don't see how you could go wrong with Olive Garden or Outback. I've never been to Outback, but I've certainly been to the Olive Garden a lot, or a couple of times anyway. It's always good. It is consistently good. Yeah, it really is. That's my daughter Sarah's favorite restaurant too. She loves the Olive Garden as well. So you really can't go wrong with it. Brats. Oh my goodness, brats. Brats are such good things. They really are. One of the ways I like them, I like to make them on the grill. I will grill them, and what I like is to take and you have to look for these things. But if you find them you're going to find them in the bakery itself, probably not in the baked goods aisle, but the bakery itself. There are these like little mini loaves of Italian bread. You slice those, you put some sauerkraut in them, and you slap that brat in there, and you're talking some very good stuff. You really are. It's excellent. You know, one of the things I like too. We we're talking about brats, and it's not that far removed from Polish cooking. It's German, yeah, obviously. Brats are German, but it's not that far removed from Polish cooking. I'm half Polish. I grew up eating a lot of Polish food, and pigs in a blanket were always good, gołąbki's, and those were probably my all-time fave. I had an Aunt Wanda, and my mom and Aunt Wanda would get together and make enough gołąbki to feed half the civilized world, you know. and we were obligated to eat them, and it wasn't a hard obligation to fill at all. So that was the one thing. But brats made me think of gołąbki's too. So thank you, Kath. Oh, Bisquick. Wait a minute. Let me just buy a nickel here. Bisquick. The savior of the Agnew household, or at least the Agnew household pre-staff when I was bringing up the kids, those kids would have starved had it not been for Bisquick. I used it for everything. I think I even used it to patch the walls. I'm not sure, but that stuff was used for just about every meal in one form or another, so that's good stuff. So we'll move it along as we continue our food discussion. And oh, by the way, too, our last round's coming up, Kath. We hadn't talked about dessert because I was saving it for the last round. Our discussion continues right now. We will move it along to OVI. Pete, you have had something to say, so let's hear it right now as we continue this on the Sunday Morning Rag Chew. I'm KC2RMO, and this is South Cars.
This is Katie for Oscar McKenzie. I said we got all that stuff cleared up. Talking about a good dish also is arroz con pollo, which is Spanish rice and chicken. And you can probably look it up in the recipe book on arroz con pollo. I eat a lot of that stuff while I was in Hialeah. Oh, gosh, I'm nice. And Thai houses, too. Thai has some good foods, good Oriental food. The best thing I ever remember was in Orlando. They have either Chinese or Japanese, restaurant. And me and my wife went in there and said, we got to explore this territory. And I looked at the menu and said, let me have a boat. I mean, that boat was tremendous. It was a huge, the boat must have been about a good two or three, maybe a 2 foot, two and a half feet long. You know, it was just like a boat. And it threw everything possibly into that boat. Cost me a couple of dollars with this thing. But we tried anyway. Oh my gosh, man. We come up with this huge thing. You sit right at the table. And you eat for hours from that stuff. A real treat. If you're going to one of these Chinese or Japanese restaurants, order a boat. And I tell you, it'll float. It really floats you right out of the restaurant. I mean, it just eternally has to eat meat to get rid of that thing. And you probably put it in a box too and take it home and just feed everybody over and over again that thing. But order a book to get it and things. You find out what recipes they have in mind for you. 84 Chevy Kenya, back to net.
Well, I'll have to consider boating the next time that I head out towards the Chinese restaurant. We were just at one not that long ago, and I did my quarterly Chinese pig out. that was great. It's starting to sound good again too. So maybe for my birthday, we'll see. But thank you, Pete, and we are kind of heading down to the end of the list of courses here. We've covered breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and I guess there's only one thing left, and that's dessert. So we'll use dessert for the final round of check-ins. Everybody's got a favorite dessert, that's for sure. My personal favorite, I'm very, very fond of apple pie. We have wonderful apples here where we live, and they make some very, very good pies. They really do. So I like apple pie, and I also like angel food cake with whipped cream, frosting, and pineapples on it. That's one of my faves too. So that's my two favorite desserts. What do you like for dessert? And again, any recipes or favorite place that you go for dessert, we'd like to hear as well. So we'll do dessert for the final round of check-ins here on the Sunday Morning Rag Chew. I'm KC2RMO, and this is South Cards.
Six, Victor.
Oscar, Victor, India.
Victor, X-Ray, Papa.
I'm Charlie Bravo.
Great final round there. We'll kick it off with 6 Victor. Come on aboard, sir.
Thanks, Gary. KY6V here. Boy, this has been a super program. As you know, it has been recorded, and I think I'll make sure that it gets posted on the Hall of Fame there on our website so it can go down in posterity. I just wanted to second the apple pie. With a little bit of twist, it's got to be Apple Amode, and it's got to be Edie's Ice Cream, sir. KY6V, thank you.
Well, I think those are admirable specs, and I can get behind that 100%. You really do. Maybe what we'll do is we'll send you a bag of Central New York apples, because they are the best in the world. They really are great. And really, if you just go about 18 miles from here down to where I used to live, 18, 20 miles up in Atisco, there are some of the most insane apple orchards you've ever seen. There's a giant one called Beacon Skiff that I used to actually live next door to, and it is just as far as the eye can see, apples, and that whole area, that whole Lafayette, Atisco, Marcellus area is loaded with apple orchards, and they're just the best apples you ever had, and they make really good pies. So you know, you bake one up, you slap a little Edie's on it, and yeah, you're in good shape. But excellent stuff, and thanks, Gordon, for checking in. We will move it along to OVI. Pete, what have you got for dessert?
Oh, dessert. Apple strudel. Key lime pie, which I think George likes key lime pie. With the lime in this. And the other one is the old-fashioned banana split. I don't know why in the world that thing has been overly stiff, but I tell you, that banana split is always good to have. And a good round of old-fashioned, I mean real old-fashioned chocolate shake. I don't know if that art has ever left, but I tell you, that banana split and the chocolate shake top of the line and make sure that ice cream is ice cream. Real smooth ice cream. Dairy Queen. I don't know how far Dairy Queen is around the country, but I'd say Dairy Queen does make a good does make good ice cream. The old-fashioned, I mean the real old-fashioned ice cream that Dairy Queen made back in the 60s and 50s and this and that. My gosh, you can't top that. That's my round of desserts, Gary. And don't forget, I mean, don't forget the banana split. Did you ask your Virginia?
I will not forget the banana split. I used to eat those all the time when I was a kid. There was a place not far from here, certainly within walking distance for a kid, called Brown's Drugstore. It was up in the Nottingham Plaza, where the Acme Market up there had received worldwide acclaim because it had this thing called the Food-O-Mat, and it was an automatic system of replenishing its shelves to in one section of the store, and it became like a model for modern grocery store technology. Food-O-Mat's never really caught on, but the Acme Market stayed there for quite a while. But right next to the Acme, or a couple of doors down, was Brown's Drugstore, and they had awesome banana splits. Used to love those. Key lime pie is a favorite of mine. I love that in the summertime. Key lime pie just tastes great in the summertime. I enjoy that a lot. Definitely there's a couple there that I can relate to. And thank you, sir, for checking in one more time. We really do appreciate that. We'll move it on out to Ohio right now. And VXP, Rick, come on aboard on the Sunday Morning Rag Chew.
This is N1VXP, Rick in Chillicothe, Ohio. Yeah, you mentioned about apple pie. One thing always keeps and comes to mind with me, it's not just one type of apple, but several. I can remember my grandmother used to say, well, you just can't put Macintosh apples in and call it apple pie. She always threw in a couple of Granny Smiths. Actually, she had her own blend. Would never tell anybody exactly what the percentage was per type of apple. But she said, you know, it's a combination. That way you're not putting a lot of sugar in. And I can remember, back quite a few years ago when I was up in Connecticut, I used to go to this one local restaurant. Actually, had the name, Do Drop In. One of the last places that had nickel cup of coffee, 50 cents for a slice of pie, and I think the dinners were like $4. Preferably, you had to go on a Friday night, because they would have fish and chips going right down to the local fish market on Fridays, getting the fresh fish. And if you would get into that restaurant, say, after 6 p.m., they would start serving dinner at 5. And they actually had quite a crowd in there, but by 6 o'clock, if you walked in, chances were they were sold out. But like I say, let me drop for a second. I've had apple pies from several different sources, and they all agree that the mix of apples is what makes the difference. I've also had baked apples with the brown sugar in the middle and caramel type of the covering on the outside that were really, you know, it's really good. But, you know, it's just... apples are kind of a universal fruit that you can mix together both hot and cold and really enjoy them. Always look forward to the good old Macintosh apples. Always something I can remember for so many years around Halloween as being one of the treats that some of the neighbors would give out to the kids, and we all enjoyed them. And once the XP back to net control.
Hey, thank you, Rick. Yeah, there's just, I don't, you know, you can make anything out of apples. And again, coming from Apple Country, I think we just get used to the idea of the versatility of these things. But they're really good for you too. That's the other thing. I think people forget, that old adage about an apple a day keeping the doctor away. It's really true. there's just if you read about how good apples are for you, that there's just tons and tons of good stuff in them. And they taste good, too, and they make the best pie. and I could use an apple pie right now. So that would be awesome. But thank you. Thank you for checking in. And George has something to say. So LCB, come on aboard. I'm KC2RMO. This is South Cars, and we're on the Sunday Morning Rag Chew.
Well, thank you again, Gary. Let me get this screen up, make sure I'm agitating here. I look like I am. I guess I'm not a dessert person, per se, as some of those $5 words be spread about, but Lord only knows, I sure like my sweets there. Once I've eaten, I don't, have dessert just after a dinner there later on that night. That's where I sure like them. But if I was out eating someplace and someone happened to mention there was some strawberry shortcake there, I probably wouldn't take a whole lot of arm twisting for me to accept, at that time. But I've never been able to, do desserts after a meal there. But I guess that's on account of the raisin. We never had it there. Desserts was, we called them treats. But what I do really enjoy, especially cooking and having around for a treat is what they call the guava duff, which is a fruit that grows here in the south, way south, Miami and the Keys and further south. And it's like a cake, but there's a sauce that's made up that is poured over it. And, of course, you've got your little vanillas, extracts, and of course your rums. It couldn't be a guava duff without some a rum that goes in it there, and makes it a well there. And we'll try to get that recipe to you. Great day. I'm giving my wealth away, but I think that's what we need to do, spread the wealth. Great dish there. But thank you for the net there once again. I think I about flooded my lips enough there. But one day you'll come to Conktown, USA, and we'll show you what Conk Style's all about. KW4 Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Hey, you better believe it, George, and I'm looking forward to it, too. You'd mentioned strawberry shortcake, and boy, does that sound good, especially... the type that you have, there's two types that I've had. There's one like with a sponge cake foundation, and there's other that's like a biscuit foundation. And I love it with the fresh biscuit foundation. That stuff's just great. Nice fresh strawberries, nice fresh biscuits, and nice fresh whipped cream. Thank you very much. That's going to be great. And again, thank you for being part of the net, George. It's always great to have you here. We have Kathy, KY6V, not KY6. Yes, you too can see what happens when your brain goes. K6SUN, thank you for some final comments. Come on aboard, Kathy.
Well, good morning once again, Gary, and it's been a wonderful net, and it's been a long net for you if you haven't eaten it breakfast, but I couldn't have a better name as KY6B, I am sure. But let me just give you an idea. Apple pie, I've heard everyone likes the apple pie. You need to try a green tomato pie, and it actually tastes exactly like an apple pie. You know, Gordon likes the vanilla ice cream on the top. That's pie al limo, and that's probably the best way to do it when it's warm. Strawberry shortcake is always great with homemade biscuit at the bottom, and the strawberries, and then the whipped cream. But I want to give you one more here. And George, thanks for the recipe you gave me, and maybe I'll send you an email. But I'd like to know where you can get the guava paste, because that would be a real interesting, sounds very rich, but it sounds like it would be fantastic. And also, George, last time we did one of these recipe nets, you came up with a complete Christmas dinner. So I'm looking forward to that again. Let me drop it here for just a moment, Gary, and I'm going to give you one recipe. I, too, don't have much, like George was saying, much for desserts, but once in a while. He sent me a bread pudding recipe, Gary, that's just fantastic, and I'm going to add that into our net. But I call it Cherry Delight. It's very simple. You use maybe you can use an 8-inch, 9-inch, like a cake pan, and you put cherry filling in the bottom of that pan. And then you top it with a yellow cake mix, about a half a box of the yellow cake mix. It's just a powder. And then you melt butter, and you just roll the butter over the top. And that butter goes into the cake and makes a crust. And then, of course, you have it with whipped cream. It's very rich, but very, very delicious. I want to thank you for doing the net. I want to thank everyone for their wonderful ideas. And remember, send me those recipes, your favorite recipes or any recipes you have, to k6sun01@gmail.com, and I'll start making a list. But thank you once again, Gary, and you and Stephanie have a wonderful day, and I received her email as well, so thank you. Back to you, Gary, from Kilo 6 Sierra United November.
My goodness. Thank you, Kathy. Cherry Delight and green tomato pie. That's really sounding good. What a great net this has been. This really has been enjoyable. And my thanks to everybody who participated. Just great to hear from you guys and some terrific recipes thrown out there. And again, you know, send those recipes to Kathy so we can get them assembled for the upcoming network, and maybe we'll get them up on the South Cars website as well. That'll be really great. There's some just great cooking going on out there, and we all deserve to share it amongst each other. But again, my thanks to everybody who took the time to participate. It's been a great net. This has been South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. VoIP net schedules and general information may be found on the voip.southcars.com website. Your net control for this session has been Gary, KC2RMO, saying 73, and closing this VoIP session. Thanks for your participation. This net is closed.